Well, it's another one of our high holy days. In some churches where this is a more sort of visually demonstrative Sunday, people show up in red as much as they can. And I've seen some pictures of churches with, you know, that are those massive, many hundreds of people, with everybody dressed in red. And it's really quite an extraordinary thing. And the day of Pentecost is especially important, I think, to, well, to all of us who have this deep understanding that following Jesus isn't just paying attention to a historical figure in the same way that you might be interested in, oh, I don't know, a famous painter. You might say you're interested in Gauguin or something like that, so you know everything about Gauguin. That's a great thing. Gauguin's a great painter. But it doesn't really have that same kind of immediacy as any other relationship has with someone who's actually alive. And so we have this relationship with Jesus, who is, of course, alive. We don't have any problems with that. But what does that actually mean? Well, one of the things that's interesting, and which always strikes me every time we come across it in John's Gospel, is where Jesus says, I'm leaving, and this is to your benefit. And you just think, that doesn't make any sense at all. Having someone that you love leave is never good, even if they're just going away for a few weeks. It's just, you know, it's not the end of the world when they're going on vacation or something. We just think, wait a second, how is that even possible? How can this be good for us? And then Jesus goes on to talk about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And so there's those three things that we encounter in John's Gospel. They're sometimes called the Paraclete sayings, if you're looking for something to come out of Greek for you. That's what you get today from Parakletos, which is translated a number of ways, often counselor and some other things. Advocate is probably the best, as is the case with every language. You're never going to get an exact one-to-one translation, but advocate is probably the best. And so what does this advocate do? And so Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to come and testify on Jesus' behalf. And when we think about that, there's some interesting things that are going to come out of that if we pay attention to sort of the sequence of things. And what I sometimes forget is what this passage tells us is that the Holy Spirit is going to testify on Jesus' behalf, and then you will too. And think about that for a moment. What it reminds us of, or at least what it reminded me of, and that I sometimes lose sight of, is that when we go anywhere to testify to Jesus, and that can be talking to somebody about it, or it can just be living a life that, to the best of our ability, gives glory to God, the Holy Spirit's there first. In some ways, we are never cold calling, if you will. That was something that I was never very good at. They call it cold calling evangelism, where you just go up to people and start talking about Jesus. Some people do it really well. It's a gift, a spiritual gift. Most of us don't do it very well. But in a very real sense, we're never the first interaction, because the Holy Spirit has always been there before us. Not necessarily in the way of somebody else talking to them, but the Holy Spirit is always testifying to the reality of God, testifying to Jesus at all times, everywhere. We don't always see those things. We don't always know them as they're happening. Frequently, we see them in retrospect. I think all of us have had those experiences where somebody comes to tell us something and we realize that we've been sort of spiritually prepared to hear that, whether it's our first introduction to God or whether it's perhaps that message of something that we might not have wanted to hear, and that if we wouldn't have had that initial preparation of the Holy Spirit alerting us that this was going to happen, we might not have taken it very well. This is very comforting to me, which is helpful because the Holy Spirit's other name being the Comforter, is that we're never starting from scratch. We're never going to someone and interacting with them from a position of complete ignorance or where we're starting from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times, bringing witness to the reality of Jesus and what that means. And so sometimes we follow and we give words to what has already been spoken to someone's spirit, to someone's inner being through the Holy Spirit. But we're never starting from scratch. We're never introducing people to God who have no encounter with God, even if they're unaware of it. Later, they may look back and say, oh, okay, the kinds of things you said to me made sense of experiences I'd had in the past. That was the Holy Spirit working before we ever got there. First impressions are always difficult, and meeting somebody for the first time can be a challenge, and introducing a topic for the first time can be a challenge. It's a bit of a comfort to me that we never do that about God. The person might not know it, but they have encountered the living God through this very living Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, it's recorded by John, the Holy Spirit is going to prove the world wrong about its values. That's my paraphrase of what happens. That what the Holy Spirit does is demonstrates comprehensively that the world just doesn't really get it. And that the world, when you talk to them frequently about, you know, what is sin? Like, what's bad? Well, what's bad is not looking out for yourself. You know, looking out for number one, that's something you should do. Getting what you want is important, and getting all that you can is important, so you should do that. That righteousness is whatever the people who can make you behave say is right. That's a bit of a sort of a crass way to put it, but really when you think about it, that's very much the world's values. That you are all that matters, and that your comfort and your prosperity are more important than anyone else's. And that the more you have, the better off you are. At the expense of anyone is irrelevant. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, that's just wrong. That's wrong as wrong can be. That we are connected to each other in ways that we sometimes forget. That we are together in this whole prospect of living. And when we all do well, we all do well. When one does well at the expense of others, then in a very real sense, none of us are successful. The Holy Spirit does this not just in sort of the larger picture, but in our own. Because this isn't just some kind of a financial or a political kind of statement. It's if we're not willing to be open to the possibility that we might be wrong, we'll never be corrected. If we're not open to the possibility that we need to do without for a period of time so that someone else might do with, that in the end we're all better off, then we're never going to all be better off. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and says, a number of the things you've been told just aren't true. And a number of the ways you want to live your life, you need to change. Because living a life that is outward oriented isn't just something that pleases God. It's something that pleases us. I've known a number of almost irritatingly happy people in my life, and I suppose you probably have too. I've never met anyone who is that kind of a person who isn't generous. Never. I've never met a stingy person who is consistently happy. I've never met someone who is consistently happy who is also consistently concerned that they're more important than the people around them. These aren't just things that we do because God tells us to do them and, you know, maybe they'll pay off after we're dead. These are ways to live a life that is successful now and does bear eternal fruit, I'm sure. But generosity makes you a better person. Humility makes you a better person. It makes not just a better person as other people interact with you. You find yourself a better person. You have a better life. That conviction that the Holy Spirit brings isn't just for that great sort of collective known as the world. It's for us. And the fact that we have this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the same Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that we don't still sometimes fall into those habits. The Holy Spirit can convict us too of what we're doing that's wrong. It's just hopefully we notice that quicker and respond a little faster and a little better. And then we have the last part where the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Our connection in one sense with Jesus is broken because he's gone. Like, we can't go to Jesus the same way we go to each other and ask for direction. So what do we do? Because we do have Scripture, and let's not lose sight of the value of that. But when we think of Scripture, and when we use terminology to describe it as a living word, as something that's alive in our lives. What makes Scripture alive is the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the process of guiding us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is a living witness and guide that works with Scripture, but also works with our inner being. We're guided into all truth, not just because we read our Bibles well, although that's certainly part of it. We're also guided into all truth through the wisdom of the people around us. Groups almost always make better decisions over the long haul than individual people, because groups have got more experience than any single human being can ever have. And when you have a group of people who are open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to provide the guidance that you might need as an individual person, or that we might need as a community of faith, we make better decisions because we're being guided by God in the person of the Holy Spirit into making the best decision possible. Does that mean we're always going to get it right? Well, no. Unfortunately, infallibility on our end doesn't come with it. And let's face it, we live in a fallen world. We still have our own issues, our own problems, our own blind spots. And I suspect most of us can look back on our lives and see at least one time that we can say, I wish I would have listened to that person. Because in retrospect, in the same way that we can see the Holy Spirit working in other people, sometimes in retrospect we can see, I was being guided into truth there, and I just said no, because it was uncomfortable, because I didn't want to, because I didn't understand it. Being guided into all truth doesn't mean we're going to be driven into all truth or dragged into all truth. Everybody who's had a guide knows that you can ignore the guide. You probably shouldn't, but sometimes you do anyway. Anybody who's been on a group tour of any sort knows that at least once you've had to wait for someone else because they didn't want to listen to the guide, and they went off and did their own thing. And so then the whole group has to wait, whether it's an art tour in Italy or it's a nature tour in Banff. The guide wasn't wrong. The person just didn't listen. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Doesn't inflict truth on us. Doesn't force us to listen to it. But says, here it is. One of my roommates in college said that one of the ways that he used to tell the difference between sort of this, you know, you have these feelings that you need to do something else or you need to move in particular directions. So the difference is that the Holy Spirit leads and the devil drives, was his way of thinking of it. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. The Holy Spirit says, come here. This is where you need to be. But if you go somewhere else, you're not grabbed by the scruff of the neck and dragged over. And the next time you need guidance, the Holy Spirit is there as well. The Holy Spirit has infinite patience with us, for which I am really grateful. And I'm grateful that that level of respect to our ability to choose is honored by God. All of these things together help us remember that the Holy Spirit comes to do things for us, and to help us to do things. And we celebrate this coming of the Holy Spirit, not because the Holy Spirit didn't exist before then, not because the Holy Spirit was off somewhere doing something else. I mean, the Holy Spirit's been with God from the very beginning. We'll talk about this perhaps a bit more on Trinity Sunday as we take another run at trying to understand the fundamental mystery of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit has always been with God because the Holy Spirit is God. In the poetic language of Genesis, the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters of creation. The Holy Spirit's been there from the beginning and will be there for always. And part of what the Holy Spirit does is gives us these things. The testimony on Jesus' behalf, demonstrating that our values, if we take them from the world, are not right and won't do us any good, and leads us into all truth. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. It's a member of the Trinity that we sometimes forget about, sometimes take for granted. In the same way that we take our partners for granted, our lifelong best friends for granted, because they've always been part of our lives. At least that's how it feels. And the Holy Spirit, that is the case. The Holy Spirit has always been with us, always will be with us. And that, I think, is well worth spending a day to think about, to sing about, and to celebrate on this, the day of Pentecost. Amen.